Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to animal cruelty, human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode. I went out foraging and all I got was two B's and a D, so I think I'm going to call it a wash. I'm Sean.
Okay, according to my new foraging app, this mushroom is a dead raccoon? I'm Kelly.
I'll just have a small poison ivy salad. I'm trying to watch my immunity. I'm Adam.
Alrighty, according to my new book, this edible mushroom should look like Jennifer Lawrence holding the guy from Basket Case. I'm Andy, and this is Acid Pop. Hello, everybody, and welcome back this week to Acid Pop, where I have some things I'd like you to eat. I found them on the ground. Would you like some?
No.
I'll take three.
This week, we are going to be talking about foraging.
Oh, good.
Foraging. It's fun.
That's what bears do.
That's where you make swords.
Yep. I'm foraging a sword. The etymology of foraging comes from the Anglo-Latin. Anybody want to try?
Foragem.
He's so close. Foragium. Food for horses, cattle, fodder.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
The old French forage. Fodder, foraging, pillaging, and looting.
On the du forage.
From ferrer, hay, bed, bed of straw, forage, or fodder. From Frankish fooder.
Frankish?
That's Canadian.
And Germanic fodrum. It means roving around in search of precisions.
I barely
precisions,
knew him.
Provisions.
So it didn't change at all.
No, not really.
Sometimes you get it right the first try.
I have a few phobias here. One of them touches on something that I didn't really find any terrible stories about. It's part of foraging, so enjoy.
Okay.
Toxicophobia is the fear of poison or being poisoned.
That sounds so familiar.
Derivative.
Mycophobia is the fear of mushrooms and fungus. And necrophobia is the fear of dead organisms.
That makes sense.
I tried to get a bunch of trivia today because this was an interesting topic, something I'd like to try to do, but then reading about it, I'm like, I don't want to try to do this anymore. So
I'm tired of studying.
We've got some trivia for you. In the United States, based on some old statistics, but it's what I had, about how many people are poisoned by foraged plants and mushrooms every year?
15,000.
I don't feel like that many people forage.
This is from 2016, but it had 10 years of data, so it's from like 2006 to 2016. Well,
certainly people don't forage as much as they used to.
This is from 1642.
That's a lot of foraging deaths.
Most recent data I could find.
The most recent data might actually be more, but we'll get into that.
Those darn hipsters.
What did Sean say?
15,000.
15,000 a year?
Yep.
Is this globally or America?
How many Americans globally die?
It's not dying, it's being poisoned. Oh.
That's how I see the world, is Americans. 200,000.
I think like 1,000.
It is around 7,000. I averaged out the 10 years of data. Most of those poisonings, about 5,500, have very minor effects, like rashes and some vomiting, a little bit of nausea.
That's good.
Some poopies.
We're talking about people stumbling into poison ivy here?
Whoop. We could talk about poison. In fact, that was going to be in the trivia. I'll just insert it now. True or false? I'll skip straight to the true or false portion and then get back to the fill in the blank. You can gain an immunity to poison ivy by eating poison ivy.
I was going to say, how does poison ivy relate to foraging? But if you're eating it, I guess that counts.
False?
False?
Let's say true.
It is so false.
Get an itchy tummy.
It is a current, like, fad thing for newer foragers to be like, yeah, and all you have to do is eat a little bit of poison ivy. They think it's like iocane powder. The people who are behind, like the expert foragers are like, why would you do that? That's so stupid. One, all you're going to get is a rash in your stomach and throat.
Sure.
And the other big one was if you burn it and breathe it,
oh god,
then you'll start to become immune. That causes a rash in your lungs and you will die.
I can feel the toxins leaving my eyeballs.
I gotta breathe in some steel wool.
Do not eat poison ivy. God damn.
I wonder if I could.
No.
Well, I'm immune to poison ivy.
It didn't work for them. but it could work for me.
I mean, you're immune to poison ivy on the outside. We haven't tried your innards.
What's the difference?
Have you rubbed it around your lungs?
No.
Back to the fill in the blank. Of the poisonings mentioned before, how many people died?
Can't be that many.
Out of 7,000?
Out of 7,000.
Well, you just said the vast majority were minor.
Yeah. I'm going to say 1% then round down, so 50.
Mm-hmm. 100.
I feel like every time someone dies of a mushroom that they found, my mother contacts me about it. So,
and we haven't spoken to her in years.
People are doing pretty good.
I'm going to say 10.
Oh, Kelly went over, but I'm going to give it to her. It's 7.
Wow.
Oh, wow. 0.1%.
7 people, although around 80 of those people that got poisoned that didn't die suffered major bodily failures. Oh. Like they go blind or cannot function without dialysis, things Oof. Like that. Now, how far back do we have evidence of hunter-gatherer societies?
It's pretty far, isn't it?
All the way?
200,000.
Oh, and I must say, among human ancestors.
Oh, God.
200,000.
I mean, is the question society? Because, like, monkeys are hunter-gatherers.
we're talking about, I'll tell you, Homo erectus.
It's always so hard for me to gauge these super long time periods.
Guess $1.
500,000 years.
Has everybody guessed?
Kelly's considering her life.
I said all the way.
It's pretty much all the way. At 1.9 million Ooh. BCE oh is when we have evidence of hunter-gatherer societies in Homo erectus. Around what time did human society abandon hunting and gathering for agrarian or agricultural society?
Never. We still have hunter-gatherers today.
Well, I'm saying a more agrarian-based.
Agrarian.
When did agrarian society start overtaking hunter-gatherer society?
Yes, let's do that.
200,000.
100,000.
The Fertile Crescent and all that, but I have no
That's
idea
kinda what, I was thinking.
What the time period for that is.
Also my problem.
Sumerians!
The History Channel tells me it was 10,000 BCE.
The year was Sumerian.
Wow. Everyone else always year. Gets away with saying Egyptian, so I'm embracing it.
That's fair.
As you should. In the summer, how long does it take before a roadkill carcass is considered inedible?
Oh. In the summer?
Who's
is
eating
this like
it?
The South or Nevada?
Hey. Inedible for human consumption.
4 hours.
2 hours.
No, like 20 minutes.
Kelly is closest without going over wow. again. Roughly 30 minutes.
Wow. Man, me and Sean are gross.
You got to rush that home and cook it fast.
In just 1.5 hour, flies have laid their eggs. Oh. Bacteria have gotten in and other creepy crawlies have set up shop and made the carcass a hotbed of disease and parasites. Mm. You get more leeway in the winter with a sure. corpse staying fresh for about 12 hours. So you can take your time with that one.
Is this like California winter or Canadian winter?
Look, I'm just getting some vague guidelines here. Surprisingly, there's a lot of websites on the internet that are like, hey man, you want to eat this roadkill? We're on to the true or false portion of our quiz. True or false, it is illegal to forage on state-owned land in California.
False.
I want to say California is kind of cool with that.
I am also going to say false.
It is mostly true.
Wow.
In California as well as Arkansas, there is a near complete ban on human interference with plant life on state-owned land.
What?
Plant and that includes life? Foraging. Can you guess the two states that wildly encourage foraging?
Oregon, Georgia.
No and no.
No.
I'm going to say, well, I don't know. Who would?
Maine?
That's a good guess.
And Massachusetts.
No and no.
Damn.
Montana and Alaska.
You got one of them.
Hey.
Which one was it?
Alaska.
Hey.
That makes sense.
The other one being Hawaii.
What? Oh, okay.
I would have thought Hawaii would have been like, definitely no.
Come on down and eat our flowers. In any state, you can harvest, this is where it's mostly true, you can harvest invasive species without any penalty from the law.
Well, I knew like Hawaii humans. Did that.
You can eat as many lionfish as you like.
Well, in Hawaii, they let you like just go grab any wild pigs you want.
Take them. But yes, invasive species generally take the resources from native plants, so go and eat all those that you want. True or false, poisoning is the most common injury among foragers.
That's got to be false. You got to trip and fall and bonk your head.
Mountain lion attacks.
Bear fights for competition for the foraging.
Oh, Adam got it right on. It's false that poisoning is the most common. It bumps broken bones and being bitten.
Oh.
The three B's. Those are what's going to get you in foraging, because you saw a mushroom up on a cliff and you decided to go for it.
That was five bees.
Bumps, broken bones.
Being bitten.
That's the five bees of foraging. And true or false, it is illegal to collect and eat roadkill in most states.
Gotta be true.
I think that's false.
It is true.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of places, like, a common thing that hunters do when they, like, kill something that they shouldn't have killed, they're like, oh, I accidentally hit it with my car. I just better take it home and eat it. So they said, well, now you can't take home and eat things you killed with your car.
There is at least one, I don't know where it was, but there was an article I was reading, or possibly just a headline, that was, in one state, it's against the law to bring home roadkill if you owe child support.
What?
Like, if you haven't paid up on your child support, you're not allowed to eat roadkill.
If you're not a good dad, you can't eat a raccoon.
So there are 20 states in which it is legal to just get the roadkill by itself. And in Vermont, you have to have a special roadkill permit, much like hunting.
What?
You're allowed a limit.
A limit?
My car is a registered lethal weapon.
And it's pretty much exactly what Sean said, is people who are unscrupulous will go, look, I shot five deer, but then I ran over two more. So what
bullet.
Do I do with these?
Yeah, they just have like a stamp that says Ford on it, and they just hit the deer with it.
Yeah, they fire it out of a gun.
Like the Vermont's like, leave some roadkill for everyone else, please.
Well, yeah.
Share the road.
Don't be greedy.
I have a special quiz. I'm going to give you the name of a deadly plant, and I want you to tell me what delicious vegetable it looks like.
Okay.
The death camas. I will tell you, it is a tall, grass-like plant.
Oh.
Grass-like. It looks like corn.
It's like green onions.
Yeah, it looks like fiddlehead ferns.
Sean guessed one of the things it looks like is, it when you pull it, it will look like green onions. Wow. It can look like wild onions, garlic, scallions, and leeks. It has similar flowering, but unlike all those delicious ingredients to your mirepoix, it causes muscle weakness, vomiting, tremors, convulsions, and death.
Oh,
okay. Are you going to tell us how to tell the difference, or
no?
Do we just have to hope for the best?
Nope, good luck out there.
Oh, here's a disclaimer. Don't eat anything that you find outside unless you're an expert.
Even if you order it at an outdoor restaurant, like, just not worth the
risk. Yeah, don't eat that. That could be one of those carnivorous outdoor restaurants that's trying to get you.
It's like that part in the SpongeBob movie.
Hemlock.
That looks like...
That one looks like tomatoes, doesn't it?
Oh, I was going to say like an herb, like sage.
It looks like a side of fries.
Oh, what the heck? There's just a basket of fries out here.
So there are many types of hemlock. This is specifically the poison hemlock, which is a great name.
Descriptive.
It looks like wild carrots.
Oh. Oh.
The poison hemlock will cause respiratory failure in all mammals.
Oh. I was going to say, I hope it would ironically cause blindness.
The death cap.
That's a mushroom.
That's a mushroom.
Looks like a mushroom.
Do I have to say what kind of mushroom it looks like?
You don't.
Okay.
The death cap mushroom looks like most common edible mushrooms, like Caesar's mushroom, straw mushroom, some other button mushrooms.
And Caesar gets a mushroom.
Caesar got a lot of stuff.
Salads, mushrooms.
And he took what he wanted, basically. And those must have been his favorites.
A month.
The death cap causes fatal liver damage. Yeah.
Mm.
It is also the plant responsible for the most foraging deaths.
Yeah.
I feel like mushrooms in general are kind of high up there.
Well, it's just the good ones and the bad ones look so similar.
Yes. I found a saying for foraging mushrooms. There are old mushroom hunters and there are bold mushroom hunters, but there are no old bold mushroom hunters.
Nice.
If you're not sure what it is, don't put it in your mouth.
I feel
Unless
like you
old.
Should just forage the mushrooms that don't have a poisonous analog. You know?
Oh, like... that's kind of hard, actually. Well... Although, most people will get poisoned not from mushrooms, because people are more cautious around mushrooms. But by things like the death camas, where they're like, look, onions!
Ooh, so
the
spicy.
Buckeye.
Oh, it's going to look like a nut, right?
Yeah.
It is a nut. What kind?
It looks like
a chestnut.
Yeah.
The common buckeye produces nuts that look similar to edible chestnuts.
Yay!
But when eaten, give you muscle weakness, paralysis, dilated pupils, vomiting, diarrhea, depression, paralysis, and stupor.
I'm so sad about pooping.
Me too.
The depression kind of comes with the muscle control loss and the pooping, you know.
Draped over a toilet, pooping into the air while crying.
And finally, false morals.
That's another mushroom.
I was going to say, that's a mushroom too.
Except it's false.
I guess it looks like morals.
It does look like a moral. Morals look kind of like a brain. False morals look exactly the same.
Okay. Perfect.
Morals are known for being the tastiest of the mushrooms you can find.
No.
However, instead of delicious taste, false morals will only produce cardiac arrest.
Oh. Do they taste good?
They don't even
first?
Taste good?
Yeah.
One hopes.
Delicious tea or deadly poison?
Quick, what's the umami like? Tell me before you die.
So there are very few stories, but honestly, after a quiz full of poisonings and parasites, why on earth would anybody forage?
Yeah.
I mean, money. I forage.
I don't know if picking blackberries.
That's foraging.
Yeah.
It is foraging.
Definitionally foraging.
Foraging has been around since humans existed.
Sure.
But has recently come back into style because of...
COVID?
The economy.
COVID-19.
Yeah. I'm bored. I'm going to eat a tree.
I wonder what this bark tastes like.
People needed something to do that would not bring them near other people, but still entertain and save them some money.
Went outside and I licked a flower.
Now I taste colors.
So you get out of the house. You produce something of value for your household. You take your minds off of the horror show that is COVID-19. And
you get to live another 36 hours.
Exactly. So foraging became a big hobby during COVID-19, and with inflation and food prices going up, people have just continued doing it. Because why go buy 96 cents of green onions when I might get a death commas?
Yeah, when I can go shoot a squirrel in the backyard.
Tastes like onions.
That's weird.
So it seems like a fun hobby, but what is the main problem here?
The economy.
Precision?
Foraging used to be taught by experts in the field. You would get a class, you'd go to the foraging class, the guy would say, look, this is how you identify these things.
I thought you had to go find them in a field.
Yeah, you had to find them. You had to forage for your instructor.
Now people are learning it on TikTok?
Now people learn it from mommy blogs and TikTok.
They're never wrong.
This new foraging boom is pushed by people who are big on social media, but not big on research. So you might have a TikToker that's like, I found all these berries and they were great. They've only been foraging 5 days.
They haven't had time to die yet.
You know what mushrooms taste good? All of them.
Every mushrooms. Well, and even some mushrooms said that the chicken of the forest is supposed to be a delicious mushroom. But if you find old ones, you will get diarrhea.
That's also true of actual chicken.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, sure.
An expert could tell you how to tell apart new, like young chicken of the forest and old chicken of the forest. A TikToker will tell you that everything was delicious and nothing went wrong.
Well, that ain't no spring chicken of the forest.
Please ignore my face rash.
In my own research, I was just reading through blogs going, oh God, no.
Stop.
My favorite one was a lady that said, nightshade berries make a delicious jam, or you can boil them down and make a delicious topping for your chicken. Now, nightshade berries... perfectly fine. Deadly nightshade berries. Not perfectly fine. The plants look nearly identical, except that when you eat the deadly nightshade berries, you will die.
You deadly.
You want to make sure you cook off all those deadly toxins.
The blog stance on that was, you'll just be able to tell them apart because this one has slightly purpler leaves.
This one had dead animals around it.
To compound that, urban foraging has become very big. And I, once again, like sure. This sounds like a fun hobby. I'd like to do it myself.
Why?
But there are considerations that have to be done. There are higher risks with urban foraging, including more higher concentrations of heavy metals in the stuff you get.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, cities have cars and gasoline and, like...
Well, and people use, like, weed killer and stuff.
Right.
If you find something that looks delicious growing out of the sidewalk, it's likely been sprayed with
urine?
An anti-weed. Man, what is... I lost the word entirely.
Weed killer?
Weed killer. Anti-weed spray.
A weed make not feel good.
One of my favorite things was if you find wild peaches in the city, depending on your city and the air quality, the peaches may contain and taste like car exhaust.
What?
Millions of peaches.
Softer fruit will absorb the car exhaust and your fruit will taste that
terrible.
Way.
Terrible.
Well, you'll know. take a bite and be this bite. Tastes like car exhaust. I'm not going to swallow this.
Just a lovely peach tree over like a smoker's break area.
There is also a higher risk of getting tapeworms if you urban forage.
From what?
Dogs poop on the plants.
Oh, okay.
And then people are like, this is wonderful. Nom, 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 nom.
Just square wash up that. Over this berry and plop.
So how can you forage successfully?
Go to the grocery store.
That's foraging with money.
You said attend a class.
Find the teacher. Yes. Your city will have classes that are often called wild food workshops, which sounds like a great way to spend a Saturday afternoon.
It does.
They will often give you books with pictures, good pictures, on how to identify what you can eat and can't eat, and teach you what to cook, what to eat raw, and that you should thoroughly wash anything you find growing. I mean, just...
These are good pictures.
Like my child.
Wash your child? Yeah. You're gonna eat.
She's growing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've got bad news for you, Andy.
Uh-oh.
You live in Nevada.
What?
There's not much...
Are you
going to
forge a lizard?
I can forge all the lizards I want.
I can go eat some pine nuts, and those are expensive at the grocery store.
They're really expensive. I could go outside right now, crack open a pine cone, and have the tiniest pine nuts you've ever done seen.
We could put a little sage on it, too. People love that.
And you're telling me I can't find rabbit carcasses? The foraging boom has also coincided with another big boom.
Poisoning?
The rise of AI written books.
Yay.
Apparently a gigantic wave of AI-generated foraging books have begun to pop up on Amazon.
Why that specifically?
Because people are interested in it. They'll sell.
Money.
AI-generated books are often stealing at best, but when it comes to a subject to foraging, they can be misleading or dangerous.
See our generative AI episode to learn how good they are at basic things like counting, let alone recognizing poisons.
Kelly's side of fries thing might not be too far off with some of these. Oh, this one looks like a big T-bone steak.
A good foraging book has been written by an expert and shows the correct way to harvest, prepare, and clean ingredients so you can avoid diarrhea and death. The two D's of foraging. When an AI scrapes together the content, it can put it together in ways that give unclear directions, false identification of ingredients, and bad directions about over-harvesting. That's another big problem with foraging right now, is people are taking all of the stuff they find.
Yeah.
It doesn't grow back that way.
It does not.
Well, especially like those mushroom beds. Like, I've heard how tricky those can be to maintain.
Mm-hmm. To make matters worse, the people who put together the AI-written books also use AI-generated images of the things that they're supposed to be foraging.
This is natural selection at work.
This looks like a one-up mushroom.
Those pictures are 100% not accurate at all. Amazon is thankfully pretty good at bringing the ban hammer down on these AI-generated books.
I would love to input into my AI image generator Chicken of the Forest.
Well, we'll have to try.
Big T-Rex chicken stomping around.
That was good eating.
As long as you don't have
the poisonous ones.
Now, yeah, put in young chicken of the forest and old chicken of the forest and see what you get. But apparently the most simple way to identify these AI-generated foraging books is by the names. They all have basically the same name.
Oh. Okay.
It is the edible plants / foraging / wild plants, or a combination of any of those, Bible, the current year, and edition.
They're always a Bible?
Yeah, almost all the ones that I saw were the edible foraging wild plants Bible 2024 edition.
It is the SEO optimization guide of 2024.
Trying to build up that metadata.
/ Hashtag YOLO.
I'm going to end in the one story I could find about foraging allegedly used for evil.
Okay.
What?
We're returning to Australia, land of 1,000 suns. No?
No, I didn't see that in my research.
Okay. Last year in Leongatha, Australia, Erin Patterson sat down at her table with her dinner guests, her ex-husband's parents, her sister, and her sister's husband.
That's what we call sisters down here.
This is my sisbin.
So she had over her ex-husband's parents to dinner?
Yes.
That's weird.
All right.
They often came over for dinner.
I guess they could have been close.
Because they were beloved guests, she prepared a very nice meal of beef Wellington. Mm. If you're unfamiliar with beef Wellington, it is a beef tenderloin in a paste made of It says wild mushrooms, but mushrooms wrapped in a puff pastry and baked.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
It's like it is. I hear it
is. It's like the world's most expensive Hot Pocket.
The four guests enjoyed the meal, thanked their host, and went home. By midnight that night, all four were feeling violently ill.
Ooh.
1 week later, Aaron Pattinson's sister and ex-mother-in-law were dead from liver failure.
Oh. Wait, should we guess on like which part of this was the foraged mistake?
Probably didn't find a wild cow.
Yeah, was it roadkill? Was it the mushrooms? did she find like wild pastry dough?
Yes, the wild growing pastry dough. You know when you find those wild pastry chefs in the forest?
I caught one in my snare trap.
A day later, her ex-father-in-law passed of the same thing.
Uh-oh.
Liver failure. Only her sister's husband survived, but he was in the hospital for 2 months.
Wow.
Obviously has the strongest liver.
All signs point to the use of the death cap mushroom in the ground-up mushroom paste that coats the beef tenderloin in the beef Wellington.
So, I can't help but notice that she isn't dead.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't like beef Wellington.
Mrs. Patterson's children were present at the meal, but were strangely served alternate meals that day.
Wow. Uh-oh, something's coming together.
Or, alternatively, maybe they were at the movies, so they weren't at dinner. She can't decide.
What?
Okay.
She says she ate the meal and also got a little bit of diarrhea.
My tummy rumbled.
Continually changing her story, first she foraged the mushrooms. Then she said, no, adding a little bit of racism and xenophobia to this, she says, I got regular mushrooms from the grocery store and weird dried mushrooms from the Asian grocery store.
Yeah.
And those went in there, so I don't know.
I don't know.
It was in the recipe, weird dried Asian mushrooms, and like I wasn't gonna question it.
Take it up with the weird Asians. Don't look at me.
I only had enough mushrooms for half of the beef Wellington, and then the half that I used the weird Asian mushrooms on, I put on the half that was closest to my in-laws.
She has been charged with 3 counts of murder and 5 counts of attempted murder.
Wow. Who was the fifth?
Why 5 counts, you ask?
Okay.
One was the cow.
Well, after seeing his parents and ex-sister-in-law die, her ex-husband went, wait a minute, there's like 4 times you made me beef Wellington? And I got violently ill and went to the hospital.
Oh, wow. Shit.
So
with the same symptoms.
So she's just really bad at making beef Wellington, is what you're saying.
She was just trying to develop his immunity to wild mushrooms.
Yep, that's how it works. After the first time, I'd be wary of beef Wellington.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd like beef Wellington after
Seriously.
That.
Seriously.
Maybe it's just that delicious.
I got food poisoning at Chick-fil-A once, and I didn't eat it for years after that.
The case is still being investigated. It's been put on hold for 20 weeks while the Australian police check all of her electronics for things like how to find poison mushroom. So we don't know whether or not... at first they were like, oh, what a tragedy. And then after a few weeks, they're like, wait a minute.
This is a very convenient tragedy.
It's like most people Google how to tell the difference between death cap and other mushrooms. She just Googled how to identify poison death cap.
Oh,
where to find.
I have to take this time aside. Hey, FBI guy who monitors my traffic. I am not currently trying to poison anybody. Please leave me alone.
Wink.
But like Kelly said, we're in Nevada. We can't get any of that stuff.
We could just drive over the hill to California, find a tree covered in mushrooms.
Don't tell that to the FBI.
And that's all the stories I have. Most of the foraging death stories are basically expert finds mushroom, thinks it's all right, dies.
None of them were bear fights or cougar fights?
Title called into question.
Oh, I got attacked by a cougar, but I shoved a poison death cap in its mouth.
That'd be pretty cool. And then he got diarrhea 2 days later.
Who's laughing now?
So Kelly does forage.
Yeah, I mean, we have
berries.
Wild blackberries growing all over this state. We have to walk about 2 feet out our front door to pick wild blackberries. And
I love wild blackberries.
You cannot kill them.
Oh, no, I've tried.
Goats can.
They cut them down to the stump every year, and they just grow right back. And there's so many of them, it's like they rot on the vine. Because like even with everyone foraging them, and the birds eating them, and the rabbits eating them, there's too many to eat.
Yeah, there's a park near us that we go to sometimes if we want a lot, and we just like bring a Tupperware and completely fill it up, And we are like one of 10 groups out there picking blackberries at any given moment. And like, we never put a dent in them.
Crazy.
See, that sounds fun.
It is fun.
That's some good old family fun.
Yeah,
I have a blackberry bush that grows right outside my house that continually creeps its vines into my door.
Out at Kelly's mom's got a new place out on the sound out here. And out there is like basically a couple miles from the only rainforest in the, you know, the U.S. And just everything there is mushrooms, like every surface of everything. And they're just like all the colors of the rainbow, just like a million different types. And, you know, she kind of wants to start using them for cooking and stuff. But it's like, but which of these are good and which are not? And last time we were out there, I was like, well, maybe there's an app for that. And I brought it up on my phone, and it is astonishing how many AI mushroom identifying apps there are. Like, I feel like AI hasn't been around long enough to make hundreds of apps, but apparently it's true. And I downloaded one of them, and basically, like, you take a bunch of pictures of the mushroom, and then it uses some algorithms to figure out what it is, and then it tells you. And it is so wrong. Like,
so I saw a statistic on that. It misidentifies mushrooms 60% of the time, of those apps.
Yeah. For me, it was 100. But I only took, like,
well, it's like
five
you said,
pictures.
Some of these mushrooms look identical to, you know, good or bad mushrooms. Yeah.
For the record, my mother is terrified of mushrooms and will never actually pick and eat of these mushrooms.
Yeah.
She just finds them fascinating.
Well, I was sort of like, that's what I was going to do, is I was going to take a picture, figure out what it thought it was, and then like Google that and find out if that was near anything else.
Yeah.
But it would bring up what it thought it was. I'm like, this is not anything like that.
One of my favorite things researching this episode was going to the foraging websites. 99% of the stuff, they're like, you can forage this. It's edible and it tastes terrible, but you can eat it. My favorite advice was, don't eat daffodils.
Oh.
Okay.
They will kill you.
You can't eat dandelions, though.
Yeah.
You can, but also, they taste terrible.
Mercy's been wanting to eat dandelions for a while now.
You can also make them into tea. Well, also out at my mom's place, it's right on the sound, you can just walk out onto the beach, which is like 10 feet from her back door, and dig your hands into the dirt and come up with 15 clams. And you do need a permit to harvest them, but you can harvest infinite numbers of them once you have it. And they're just clams and oysters and mussels. They're just everywhere.
There was also a lot of warnings about things like clams, roadkill, and a lot of berries that you find, is that many of them will be toxic until you cook them.
Yeah. Yeah,
so delicious.
We eat blackberries a lot, and we probably shouldn't be quite as cavalier about it as we are, because we just eat them straight off the vine. And like every once in a while, I'll be out picking blackberries, and I'll see a blackberry that just has a bird poop just like squarely right in the center of it, just splat. And I was like, that's the one I can see, you know?
No, I think there's nothing wrong with foraging and urban foraging. Please know what you're eating.
Yeah, do a lot of research.
In fact, blackberries is mentioned as one of the most forageable things because no other berry looks like it, or at least nothing that's going to kill you.
Yeah.
Although if you're in a city where a bunch of people are driving by, it might taste a little
something
like
this.
Exhaust. So, what are your morals worth?
False
are we
morals
back
or
to
real
mushrooms?
Morals?
I have a plate on it.
A plate on what? On the table?
I have a plate on it. I have a plate with me.
It's like a cloche?
On it are 20 cooked mushrooms.
Oh. 20.
They've got cheese and seasonings. They look delicious.
Like stuffed mushrooms?
One of them will kill you.
One out of 20?
You may pick one delicious-looking mushroom.
Oh, boy. Do I?
Is the deadly one also delicious?
It is.
Okay.
That's probably bad, because I'd spit it out of it.
I don't want to roll a d20. I roll ones too often. I'm not doing it.
Can I bring my like foraging mushroom safety book and like compare it?
You may.
Okay.
I thought you were gonna bring your really bad app.
Most likely, all you're going to get is bad diarrhea and trouble breathing.
Oh, okay. Trouble breathing.
I have to poop.
Only the death cap will really kill your liver, and even then, most likely won't kill you.
I'd roll those bones if that's all I'm going to get.
Only
I mean, there
probably
is a chance.
Dead.
I mean, there's good odds that I'm going to get a delicious mushroom with no problems. And it sounds like the bad one isn't, like, you know, a fatal mistake.
Unless it is.
I'd feel better about this if I could, you know, bring my book. So
can bring your book.
If I've got my book and I can, you know, make a somewhat informed decision, I would probably think that, I don't know, it's not a big deal, but I don't like mushrooms.
I don't mind their death, but these are gross.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of mushrooms, but if I put them in a food processor and cooked them up into like a paste, kind of like a beef Wellington, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
$500.
Adam's getting some mushrooms for $500.
Mm-hmm. I might have extra.
I'll eat all but one.
What are the odds, right?
I don't know. I have to pay for at least like dialysis if I need it. So I'm going to say 10,000.
And Kelly was a no. I don't really like just mushrooms cooked. You're going to have to give me 20,000 for having to eat a mushroom.
20,000?
Yep.
It's a regular food.
A regular deadly food.
I still think about one of the best pizzas I've ever had was in Seattle, and it was nothing but mushrooms on it.
That was at Zeke's.
It was so good.
So if that's all of our morals and our mushrooms, our moral mushrooms.
Mushroom morals.
Then that's all I have for you this week. Once again, find us on the internet.
Where?
That's where we are.
With your foraging guide. if you find, like, passive op, you found the wrong thing. You're foraging incorrectly for podcasts.
Try a different AI.
If it's acid poop, give it a pass.
All righty. We'll see you next time.
Bye.